All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we can bless others, that we can participate and see people's lives transformed, giving them hope. And I thank you for Jenny and her leadership and the work that she does with youth. And she's been doing this for so many years. And just pray a real special blessing upon her. And Father, this morning, we thank you that we can be amongst friends and family and brothers and sisters, and that we can just fellowship with one another, and that we can spend time worshiping you. But Lord, we also want to hear from you. We want to hear from your word. I pray that our hearts would be receptive this morning to what you have to say. Again, thank you that you are involved in the Word of God, and Lord, that that you do apply it to our hearts. You are here with us, and I pray that we would honor you, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. And we are going to read from verse 11. My focus is just going to be on verse 13 today, but I want the context here. Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, and I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So last week we looked at the life of Paul, and as he confessed to the Philippians that he had come to a point in his life and a place in his life where he was able to say that I have learned how to be completely content in all my circumstances. And you have to say that is quite an achievement. That's quite a state of mind to have. And then he closes this up by saying, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so we're going to look at why does Paul say that? But first, I just want to acknowledge that for many Christians that I have met, this is their favorite passage, their favorite promise. And maybe it's one of yours. I understand that there are many Christians that have even tattooed it on their arms to just remember, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I understand that Christian athletes especially like this verse, and they have it on their flags and mottos. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But today I want to make sure, I think it's a great verse, it's a great promise, but it's important for us to ask ourselves the question, what did Paul mean by this? Does he mean the same thing as we understand him to mean? And perhaps where to begin is to just ask the question, why does he actually say this at this point? Now, in order for us to really understand why he says that, we have to understand a little bit about the culture and the group of people that he's writing to. There was a philosophical school in Paul's day called the Stoics. There was another school as well called the Cynics. And the Cynics and the Stoics had something in common. And essentially they would ask the question, if we could, you know, if we had a whole group of people and we can mold their minds and their lives, what would be our goal? What would we want them to learn? And what they would have said is, we want people who are Stoics, the ideal person, the wise person, is somebody who can be content in all circumstances. That would be their goal. So this is very true in terms of, you know, every culture, we have certain goals. The ruling class, the philosophical schools, they have certain goals that they would like to mold people's minds. Do you know what, in our day and age, what is one of the main ethics, one of the main values that people are trying to communicate to our children, to everybody? What is it, you know? Tolerance, that's right. If we have a group of people, the one virtue that we want our young people and the wise person, I mean, this is the ideal, that that individual become tolerant of all other beliefs and all other views. And so that is the goal. I was watching just recently on YouTube, and he's probably in his late 20s, and he was going around asking university students. He said, if I said to you that I'm a woman right now, would you believe me? And they said, well, if you say you are, I guess you are. I'm fine with it. And he's a white guy, and he says, if I said to you that I'm Chinese, would you believe it? Well, if that's how you feel, you know, who am I to judge you? If I said that I'm just 4'5", well, he's much taller than that, would you let that go? Well, I mean, I would wonder why you're saying that, but yeah, I guess in the end, yeah. And so you really see, and this is just so many university students coming out to say this, the goal is to get people to say to themselves, I have come to a point where I don't judge anybody, anybody's claims, everything people say, I will accept. That's the ideal. Well, in the Roman culture, they had their ideal, and the ideal was to get people to a point where they would be able to say, I am content in all circumstances. And they would also have their radical folk amongst the group, so they would say, well, what about if your wife died? Well, if she died, you know, nature takes over, so be it. And they would say that about their dog, about their property, and what if you had to die? Well, if I have to die, I have to die, I'd be content. So they would say things like this. That was their ideal. So when Paul says, I have learned the secret of contentment, and he's writing to these Gentiles, they would know the Roman culture. Immediately they would say, oh, Paul sounds like a Stoic cynic, because that's their goal. And Paul has reached the ideal. He's able now to say to us that that is where he's arrived in his walk, in his life. So Paul knows that that's exactly what they're going to hear. They're going to hear this Stoic ideal when Paul says these things. So Paul says what he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying that in part to set the record straight, okay? With the Romans, the cynics, the emphasis was always on self-sufficiency, okay? That was the goal. To get to a point in your life where I'm just completely self-sufficient, I don't care what happens, I'm not in control of circumstances anyways, but I'm gonna be content no matter. But it was always, I can do it, I can do it. And the truth is this is very common still throughout our history. One of the top 100 children's books in 2007 was a book called The Little Engine That Could. Do you remember what that little engine would say? I think I can, I think I can. And it was one of the top books because it was just like so optimistic and, you know, gave people this sense of energy and I can do it. And many of our motivational speakers today, this is a very common, line and philosophy for them, this goal of self-sufficiency. How many of you, have you ever heard, there is nothing you can't do if you just put your mind to it. You can become self-sufficient. There's nothing you can't achieve if you work hard enough for it. You can become whoever you want if you just put your mind to it. And so people go to listen to these motivational speakers, and I think they, you know, they feel pumped up, and then when they come out, they've got all this confidence that they're able to change the world, change their life, and they hear about all these examples of personal success, and they come out feeling really positive and good about themselves. So it's not It's not at all uncommon, this Stoic virtue. Napoleon Bonaparte, he was a motivational leader. You know one of his most famous lines? He said, "The word impossible is not in my dictionary." Sounds divine, doesn't it? But you can see when somebody speaks like this, how, you know, I mean, the people in his army were just like, wow, he can conquer the world. I mean, this little man, the word impossible is not in his dictionary. And he won many a battle, but he didn't win all of them. But that's the idea, self-sufficiency, believe in yourself. You can do it. And so when Paul starts off and says, I can do all things, as I said, that's like, wow, they're going to associate that. And there's no question about it, let's be honest, that people have been able to accomplish amazing things in their own strength. They would never say that it's because of God's strength that they do it, but I mean, I do believe it's through God's permission, but nevertheless, people, you know, the Great Wall of China, going to the moon, it's amazing what human beings can do. I can do all this. Now, why does Paul say, I can do all things? Paul is a humble man. He's an honest man. We don't usually think of this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, as a word coming out from somebody who's humble. But Paul is a humble man because Paul wants to set the record straight. And he wants to make it very clear to everybody, I am not a self-made man. Don't we like that term, self-made millionaire and all the rest? Paul wants to, listen, whatever achievements I have in my life, whatever success, whatever growth, please don't think that it was me who just did this on my own strength. He wants to give credit to the work of Jesus in his life. That's why he says this at this point. And it's not the only time he says it. Here's a wonderful passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. Listen to what Paul says. I am what I am, you finish it, by the grace of God. You want to know why I am the person I am today? You want to know why I've been able to achieve the things I have, the progress I've made in my spiritual walk? I am what I am by the grace of God. And then he says, and his grace to me was not without effect. I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see that? He's always, I've got to give the praise to Jesus for what he did in my life. And he's just aware of this divine work taking place and God's presence in his life. So for Paul, he would say, the life that I'm now living is no longer simply a natural life. There's a supernatural person that's at work in me. So I said that human beings can accomplish much, and they definitely can. They can accomplish much in all areas of life. And I would even say they can accomplish much in the area of religion. What they can't accomplish really is what God wants to accomplish in people's lives. And this, I think, is so important for us to keep in mind. That our calling is not to get a job done, but there are spiritual results that we should deeply care about. There's a spiritual work, a transformation that must take place. So, you know, we can put a worship service together. Human beings can do it, but it will never have the impact of really worshiping God if we do it in our own strength. I can preach a sermon in my own strength, but no lives will be touched. No one will hear the voice of the Lord, as it were. We can put together a Sunday school package, but what about the spiritual impact of lives being transformed. There we need the Spirit of God. And so it's very important for us to remember this, that we can do much in the flesh and completely leave Christ out of it. But without Christ, we will never be able to accomplish the work that he's called us to do. For this, he must be at work in us. I would even say that some people can make a lot of progress in the Christian lifestyle, but you'll never become a Christian until you know the power of the gospel in your life. Here's what Jesus said: I am the vine, you are the branches. No, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, let me emphasize as well, let me ask this question. Is Paul denying that he had any role to play? And the answer is no. He just finished saying, I can do all things. He's not saying I'm totally passive in all this. He's admitting, I worked hard. I exerted energy. I suffered much. I prayed much. I studied hard. I experienced the weariness and the pain. So I wasn't just a passive, you know, bystander looking on, as it were, and watching Jesus do everything. I was fully engaged. I was involved. I'm not a zero in all of this. But, he says, it's God's strength in me that made the difference. So, yes, I'm involved, and yes, God is involved. Now, let me bring up another point. So, is Paul saying that, and we are equally important in this equation? Here I would giving some thought to this, I would say that we're not equally important in terms of the results that happen. For instance, if just go back and remember when the disciples, and they brought together the fish and a few fish and loaves, and we brought them to Jesus. We did it. But he multiplied it to feed the multitude. Are we equal in the work? We cast the nets. We worked hard. We cast the nets out, but he drew the fish into the nets. We moved the stone away, but he raised Lazarus. We preached the gospel, but he's the one who saved people's souls. And, you know, we just can go on and on. Like, this, okay, I mean, praise God that I'm involved in it, but it's not equals. You know, I was thinking of times like on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day, we usually have a lot of people come over to our place, and I was just thinking, you know, sometimes people, they just compliment me on how good the supper is. And, I could justify it. Let me see. I cut the carrots. I peeled the potatoes. I poured the water. You know, I put out the plates. Okay. But had it not been for Karen, I have to admit, there would have been no compliment today. All right? And really, I do my part, and I'm glad to be able to serve in that way. But when it comes right down to it, the praise belongs to Jesus. The praise belongs to him. We just rejoice that we can be a part of it, that he wants us to be a part of it. I would say for Paul to be able to say what he says as well, that he knows himself. He knows his limitations. You know somebody who didn't know his limitations? One of the disciples was Peter. Peter really didn't know himself very well, and he had to learn the hard way. Remember when he said, Jesus, even if everybody else denies you, count on me. I will never deny you. All right? And right away, Jesus he said, oh, Peter, you're relying on your own strength. I tell you, you will deny me. You will fail. See, Jesus knows that people don't have the strength. They may have the ambition to do something, but when it comes right down to it, God's call is going to require something more than just human strength to go through with it. Another person that had to learn this was Samson. Remember his experience? It must have been really tough for him to come to that point of realization that without the strength of God, I'm just an ordinary Joe, and I can't fulfill God's work. I can't do it. You know, it was symbolized, the power of the Holy Spirit was there in his hair. And when that was cut, he became a normal, ordinary person, and he became all weakness. Very difficult lesson for us to learn, but a really important one, that without Christ's strength, we will not succeed in doing God's work. Here's a quote that I came across, Madame Guyon. She wrote this: I became deeply convinced of what the prophet said, that unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman keeps it in vain. When I look to you, O my Lord, you were my faithful keeper. You continually defended my heart against all kinds of trials and temptations. But alas, when left to myself, I was all weakness. How easily was I overcome? Let others ascribe their victories to their own fidelity. As for myself, I shall never attribute them to anything else than your paternal care. I learned that apart from Christ, I am all weakness. And so really it's like, Lord, forgive me. I mean, I take you and I took you for granted. But now I see that my successes, my achievements, you know, when people's lives get touched by the word of God, my perseverance, everything that I've enjoyed in serving you is because you have been at work in me and through me. May I never forget it. Now, what does Paul mean as well when he says this in this context? He's saying, I can endure all trials. I can endure them if God has ordained that I should be at this particular place at this particular time, and this is what God wants me to do. I can endure it because he strengthens me, right? I can endure prison, right? He's writing from prison. I can endure prison. I can endure these chains. I can endure the thorn in the flesh. I can endure illness. I can endure humiliation. I can endure death. I can. Why? Why can I do all these things? Because Christ gives me strength. And by the way, Paul, when he got converted, the Lord spoke to Ananias, and he said this to him. To Ananias, he said, this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the prophets of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. What a way to start the Christian life. You know, we often hear people say, God has a plan for you. And we think it's always, oh, this life's going to be easy. Here's God's plan for Paul. He's going to suffer much for my name. And so Paul knows that God has called him to a life of suffering. And like a good soldier, he submits to his commander-in-chief. Wherever you put me, Lord, I will be faithful. I can't do it by myself, but I know that if you send me there, God will give me the strength. So let me just say as well that when Paul says that I can do all things, he does not mean, okay, that with Christ's strength, I can break out of prison. He does not mean that I can break the chains from around these wrists or heal myself or anything like that. And the reason I say that is because there are some people who have read this verse, and their understanding of it is that in Christ I can do these extraordinary things. Now, there's no question that God's people can do extraordinary things, and there's a context for that, but it's not here because that has nothing to do with learning how to be content in every circumstance. Keep that verse in context. Because this verse is not necessarily about changing your circumstances or avoiding your circumstances, but that because of God's strength in our lives, the circumstances cease to be the determining factor in our contentment. I can endure all these circumstances and all these trials for the sake of Christ. That's what I believe Paul is telling us here. By the way, I think that Christians are always going to disagree on how to approach life's difficult circumstances. There's some disagreement about that. I think some of us by nature, immediately when we find ourselves in tough situations, that we believe and we think that what God wants for us, for me in this circumstance, is for him to deliver me from these difficult circumstances. Right? There are people, theologically, I would say, that their first thought is, whenever I'm in trouble, God is going to deliver me. Out I go from the circumstance. There's another group of people that I think just because of their theological point of view and perhaps their personality as well. And I think I fall into this category more, that whenever there's difficult things that happen, I say to myself, okay, God wants me to endure this. Which is it? Endurance through difficult trials, staying in the circumstances, or deliverance? I remember, I've shared this with some of you, but I was in Ottawa many, many years ago, and Mother Teresa was invited by Keith Green's wife, believe it or not, those of you who remember Keith Green. And she was invited to be the main speaker. It was a pro-life crowd that came out, and she spoke about standing up for the rights of the unborn and so on and so forth. And not long after she started to speak, I mean, it just started pouring rain. Just like, it was incredible how much rain was just coming out. And this Keith Green's wife, I think her name was Melanie, she went to the microphone and she prayed, "Lord, stop the rain. Stop the rain." And as I said, just because of who I am and my theological bent, I was like, "No, Lord, let it pour even more. I want everybody to know that the reason we are here is not because it's a sunny day, not because it's easy. Like, the more we are here and the more rain that comes, everybody will see that we need the strength of God." Anyways, God listened to her prayer rather than mine. But I've come to a point now... like, for example, my father-in-law, he was in the Pentecostal church, and this is why I'm bringing this up in part, because he would always think of deliverance. You know, say somebody's sick, wow, let's pray, like, for healing right away. And I just, maybe more the Reformed tradition, you know, thinking about the Puritans and all the rest, it was all about suffering, because they had to suffer much. And so I'm more in tune with their writings. But I think I've come to a point now where I see that neither of us have the full truth on this. There are times that God does deliver people from their circumstances, from their illness, from their pain, from very just unpleasant people and all the rest. He does. He delivers people. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they didn't have to burn for Christ. Came close. The Lord really tested them right up into the... But he delivered them from it. And I think it's important that God's strength can be revealed either way, through deliverance or by giving people strength to endure. Now, Paul, in his life, he was called to endure, boy, great, difficult, life-threatening trials. It's a verse I've read a number of times with Paul, but let me read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. "We don't want you to be uninformed about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Now listen to this line. "Far beyond our ability to endure." Wow. "So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we must not rely on ourselves, that is, in our own strength, in our own ability, as in our own wisdom, but on God, who raises the dead. So it's really interesting. He says that it was far beyond my ability to endure, but he turned to God. You know, I just mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were delivered. There were many great people who died in that terrible year of 1555 under the reign of what we now know or call Bloody Mary, when there were so many godly men and women who were thrown into the flames. And two of them, Bishops Latimer and Bishop Ridley, these are Latimer's words to Ridley on that final moment. "Play the man, Mr. Ridley, for we shall see this day, daylight, such a candle, by God's grace, in England, as I trust shall never be put out. Be of good heart, brother." And here it is. "For God will either pacify the fury of the flames or else strengthen us to endure it." There was no deliverance for them that day. But he had this conviction that even now, if God is calling me to die for him, then he will either pacify the fury of the flames or strengthen us to endure it. And so they perished with Paul's confidence. "Even now, O Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I just don't know that when we put, you know, people who get that tattoo put on their arms, that that's what they're thinking about. I think very often what we're thinking about is, okay, God, here it is. I've got all my plans, and this is what I want to do with my life, but hey, I can't make it happen, so I'm coming to you for you to make it happen. See, that's not exactly what Paul is saying here or teaching here. All right, let me, in closing, just make one more point. For Paul, for the New Testament, being a Christian is all about knowing about the power of God. It's not just about right doctrines, friends. It's not just about, you know, coming together as a church. It's about knowing the power of God in your life. Yet, I have to say that very often, you know, we don't fully experience this power. And I was just asking myself in preparing, why, Lord, why don't we experience your power more in our lives? And here's the thought that came to me, that often the reason is because we resist really allowing God to have his way in our life and to put us in situations that will require us to look to God for strength. We do everything in our life to remain in control, in controlled circumstances, to play it safe. John Ortberg wrote a book, and I've never read it, but his title was just so intriguing to me. One of these days, I got to get around to reading it. And the title is, "If you want to walk on water, you have to get out. You have to get out of the boat." Isn't that an interesting title? And I guess there's some. If you want to know the power of God, you got to get out of the place where you think is strength, because you'll never need his power. You can do it on your own strength. You'll be in control. Don't worry about it. And Paul, you know, was willing to get out of the boat. And when I look back, there is one example that really stands out in my own life. As some of you know, Karen and I ended up becoming foster parents. And just in one day, we went from having three kids under the age of 11 to having seven kids. And if you had asked me, you know, do you think you have the energy to do this? Are you kidding? Some of you even told me that we were crazy to do what we were doing, and we were. But I think we got to a point where we said, you know what, is God calling us to do this? I don't feel we have the wisdom to know how to do this. One, two, three kids is hard enough. And then have all these other children with all these other problems. I don't think we have the know-how. Do we have the strength for this? No. I mean, I used to go to bed totally exhausted every night. Didn't have the strength and all of her. But it came down to, look, does God want us to do this? And if the answer was yes, then get out of your boat and go for it. And so we went for it. And I look back during those years, and I would have to say that something did happen. We saw the provision of God come in a short period of time. All of a sudden, people started coming in from everywhere. Can we help? Can we help? We ended up getting some people writing us checks. Got a $1,000 check once, just out of the blue like that. It was just incredible. And all of a sudden, we got to a point where, you know, we began to enjoy some of this. And I have found over and over that when I've said yes to God, even though I'm totally scared about what he's calling me to do, that during those times when I've said, acted out in faith, okay, because there's a connection between acting out in faith and experiencing the power of God. When we say yes to God, Lord, I am going to do your will, we find his presence and his power with us. But if you want to remain safe all the time and you're controlling your own little world, well, in some ways we're saying to God, don't worry, I can handle this. Again, one more quote. Hudson Taylor, he said this, many Christians estimate difficulties in the light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail in the light little they attempt. But all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence with them. If God calls you, you need to have a can-do attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive my enemies like Stephen forgave. I can fight Goliath and Goliath-sized problems just as David did. I can take unpopular stands and even stand alone just like Daniel did. I can resist adultery and flee fornication just as Joseph did. I can be content in all my circumstances just as Paul was. I can do these things that God has called me to do because Christ is my strength. Father, thank you for the strength that you provide for us, Lord, and forgive us. So often we are like Samson. We go out and we think, we just assume your power is always with us, even though we've been sinning and rejecting you and not spending time with you or your word and not acting in faith. And then we find out we are without strength. God, I pray that we would learn our lessons well. You are the vine, we are the branches. We need you. Father, I pray for people here this morning who may need strength, whether it's to resist a particular area of sin in their lives, an area that has conquered them often. Lord, you have taught them that Satan is much stronger than they are, and sin is much stronger than they are in their flesh. But it's only in your power and in your strength by the Holy Spirit that we conquer sin. I pray for those who are perhaps in a relationship they shouldn't be in. I pray you would give them strength, O God, to do the right thing because it's so tough. But I pray that if they hear you calling them, that they will take your hand and just do as you've commanded. I pray for those who feel like they need to take a stand at work or at school or in the neighborhood, and they just don't find the courage within themselves. Oh God, I pray that they would obey, take a step of faith, and I pray that they will know your strength and power. Whatever it is, Lord, that people are going through, we would ask that you have mercy on people, that you would deliver them from their trials and from their illnesses and from whatever it is. You get the glory. But we also just want to pray that if it is your will that this cup should not be passed, that you will give us the strength to endure. May the name of Jesus be glorified here this morning. Amen.